Okay, so now we come to the practical side of confession. How often should you go to confession? Well, the first thing to say is that if you feel that you've done something which is wrong, then you should go to confession straight away. Not to leave it, you know. Even the same day, if necessary. And of course, you can always ring up the priest and say, I want to go to confession. Or you could come to confession in church at the set times. And in our place, we have confessions after the two masses on Saturday. And on Saturday evening between 4:30 and 5:15. Before the evening mass. And once a month we have a confessional service which helps you to prepare for confession, think about, you know, examine your conscience, and then gives you the opportunity of making your confession personally to the priest, but very quickly, and then together there's general thanksgiving, which is very good. Well, I think it's very good anyway. But for your first confession, when you're making your first confession, I don't recommend that. Later on, fine. But maybe to start with, for two or three times, it's as well to come personally. It's not easy to go to confession. Well, it is easy. It's as easy as falling off a wall, really. But from a point of view of a person's feelings, it can be difficult. And many people, you know, like yourselves coming into the church, make your first confession because you've got to. And then you wipe your brow, shake your hand and think, right, well, that's that done. And that's your first and last confession. And that happens. But that's a shame if that happens. But, I mean, I was brought up to confession, you know, so I go to confession since I was 7 or 8. And so, you know, it's just part of life, as it is for any, you know, person who's been brought up a Catholic. We don't see any problems in it. But it isn't so easy for converts. They find it difficult. But what I want to really stress to you is that it's just a question of going and being very conscious that you're talking to Christ. Forget about me, or whoever the priest is. That's of no consequence. And I'll tell you something which you might not believe, and I can't make you believe it, except to tell you that this is how it is for myself and for all the priests I've ever spoken to about it, is that when a person comes to confession and tells their sins, it goes in one ear and out the other. It just doesn't stick. It's an amazing thing. Really is an amazing thing. You probably find that difficult to believe. You know, someone come along and, you know, say something very serious. But it just doesn't stay. Is it Teflon? What's the stuff? Non-stick pans?
Teflon.
You know? that's what it's like. It just doesn't stick. Doesn't stay. And you've just got to take my word for that. It seems impossible that, you know, someone could tell you something about themselves and it doesn't stick. I'm telling you that because, you know, some people feel that when they see the priest again after going to confession, he's thinking, oh, she did that, or did that. It doesn't work like that. Just not like that. Absolutely not like that at all. Just isn't. It's amazing. It amazes me that it isn't. Because you think the priest would remember things like that, but he doesn't. And that, not just because I've got a bad memory to start with. It's because that's how it is with all priests. I think it's a kind of a grace of God. Now, with regard to going to confession, it's good to prepare yourself first. Spend some time beforehand. Maybe if you decide to go to confession on Saturday, for example, in the course of the week, let your mind be percolating over, you know, over your life, how things have been going. And so don't just rush into the confessional. Think about it. You know, see where you need this healing from the Lord, well, as best as you can see it. And then you come in to the priest. Now, children, when they're being prepared for confession, they're taught all sorts of formulas, prayers and things. A child will be taught to go in, make the sign of the cross, and say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It is a month since my last confession, and these are my sins." Right? So that's what we oldies were taught to say. Okay? But that, it doesn't matter. That sort of thing doesn't matter. The essential thing is that you come to the priest, you recognise that Christ is there. We don't have, well, we have the confessional in church, but it's constructed in such a way that the priest, you can either have confession kneeling down or sitting down. Either kneeling down through a grill or sitting down facing the priest. Now, we've all seen confessional scenes in films, you know, where the priest is in a little box and the penitent comes along into the other little box. Well, that was the days when people didn't understand what I've just been saying to you about the fact that priests cannot remember, don't want to remember what people have said. And they think that perhaps they would, so they like to go to confession anonymously. And so that developed into the confessional box, whereby the priest would be behind a grill, usually a metal grill, and a curtain, so they couldn't see the person. And they would come and kneel down, confess their sins, receive, and the priest wouldn't know who they were. But, of course, I can usually tell everybody's voice anyway. So it doesn't really make any difference. So when you come into the confessional, in our church and in most churches, when you come in, the priest is sitting around the corner, so he can't see you. So if you really want anonymity, you can come in, he won't see you, you can kneel down and confess your sins. Or, and this is what I recommend, is that when you come in, you go straight to the seat and sit down. And then I'll say, you know, "Hello, Lynn, how are you doing? What do you want to tell the Lord you're sorry for?" Okay, simple as that. And then you would say what you want to say. You don't have to rack your brains about remembering, you know, whether it was 15 times you did it or 16 times you did it. You know, the Lord's not like that. When we tell the Lord that we're sorry for something, he says, "Okay, your sins are forgiven, go in peace." So you just come in, you sit down, the priest will say, "Okay, you know, what do you want to tell the Lord you're sorry for?" You tell your sins, and then he will give you, he'll talk to you. Sometimes he doesn't. Some priests will just say, "Okay, for your penance." The priest gives you a penance to do. Now, a penance is a kind of a token thing. It's a token. Because, as we were saying at the beginning, you know, the gravity of sin, offending the all-holy God in our lives, is so big that we don't appreciate it, we don't realise it. And so, you know, for a serious sin, there's nothing that we can do that can make up for it. Only Christ can make up for it. And this is what he was doing on the cross. He was taking our sins on himself because we ourselves in the face of God can never make up for it. But what God wants to know is, are we willing to show willing? And this is where the penance is. Priest will give you something to do, which, you know, in church law you're obliged to do. And it's just showing willing that you really are sorry. You know, if you have a row with your wife or something, and you throw her favourite vase at her, and it smashes, and then you eventually come and you say you're sorry and so on, and you're at peace with your wife. But what would be the nice thing to do would be to go out and to buy the same vase if you possibly can and give it back. You know, that is showing willing, saying you're showing that you really were sorry that you threw the vase at her. Yeah? And so in confession, the priest will give you something very simple, like Hail Mary or the Our Father, or light a candle to Our Lady, or say this particular prayer or that particular prayer. I'm often tempted to ask people to wash my car, but I've not got that far so yet. But the penance is something that is just show willing to God that we really do mean what we're saying. So you say, so for your penance, you know, if you've, say, fallen out with your wife or something, you might say, well, you know, buy your wife a box of chocolates. Something like that. But it's usually something like, say, the Our Father or the Hail Holy Queen or something. Okay. And then he will say, tell the Lord you're sorry. And that's called the act of contrition. And the children are taught the act of contrition, and the kids will say it. Oh my God, because you are so good, I'm very sorry that I've sinned against you, and by the help of your grace, I will try not to sin again. That's the short form of absolution. But what the essence of the act of contrition is twofold. First of all, you recognise you've offended God, and therefore asking forgiveness for it. And the proof of your sincerity is that at this moment you are not going to do it again. Okay? So, oh my God, I'm sorry because I've sinned against you, because you are so good. By the help of your grace, I will try not to sin again. This will not to do it again is what sorrow really means. Some people get really hung up on this thing about being sorry for their sins because, you know, sin is pleasurable. If it wasn't pleasurable, you wouldn't do it. So, you know, how can you be sorry for something which you enjoy doing? And the reason is, the answer is that sorrow is not a feeling of sorrow, as it often is with ourselves when we've offended someone, you feel really sad that you've done it. But because our relationship with God is different and we don't see God, those feelings don't come into play very often. And our sincerity is revealed by the fact that we know we've done wrong, we've asked God pardon, and here and now we are going to do our level best not to do it again. So if here and now you're not going to do it again, as far as you're concerned, you're sorry. But that's an essential ingredient of confession. You know, you can't go, say, commit adultery and come to confession and say, I've committed adultery and have it in the back of your mind, but I'm going to do it again tomorrow. You know, that would invalidate the sacrament because you're not sorry. You're intending to do it again. But if you've got into a habit of, so say you're the kind of person that blows your top, gets really mad, throws vases around the place. You know, now you know that that's how you are. And you come into confession and you're saying to God, look, I really got really angry, said all sorts of things I didn't want to say. I know that I'm the kind of person that does this, and so I know that in all probability I will do it again, but at this moment I do not want to do it, and I will not do it if I possibly can. Then you're sorry. You know that you probably will, because that's your nature, but at this moment you are determined you're not going to do it. Okay? So that's what sorrow is. And people sometimes get worried because they find themselves confessing the same old sins over and over again, month after month. Well, you know, that's human nature. We are as we are, and confession is there to get us out of these habits of sin. Slowly, slowly, slowly. You know, a leopard doesn't change its spots too quickly. It's a, you know, to grow into full Christ likeness is a lifetime's job. Okay? So even though you find yourself still committing the same sins, keep at it, and you'll find that slowly but surely you'll free yourself from that particular sin. So then what I tend to do very often at this point, when the person has confessed their sins, is to say, okay, let's be quiet now, let's be silent, let's be conscious of the presence of Jesus, because Christ is really here. It's not me that's doing the job, it's Christ that's doing it. You've come into his presence. Be conscious of that presence. Be conscious of whom you are speaking to and asking pardon of. Be conscious of that. And just be silent in that attitude of repentance for a minute or two. So we keep quiet, and then when that minute is over, I give them the absolution. Now the absolution is the prayer that the priest says, God the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. To the ministry of the church, may God give you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's called the absolution. In the early church, when the priest was doing that, he used to lay his hands on the person's head. Again, a symbol of the Spirit coming down and forgiving. But because the grill got in the way, and it was impossible to put your hand on the person's head, the priest now just holds his hand up. So even if you're sitting in front of him, he's not likely to put his hand on your head. He might do, some priests do, but, you know, he'll just hold his hand up like this. But that's the symbol of the laying on of hands, the giving of the Spirit. Okay? And then when that's done, you feel on top of the world. And the priest says, go in peace, your sins are forgiven. And you do go in peace. You really do. It's an absolutely wonderful sign. Although in Holy Communion we receive our Lord, you know, in the deepest possible sense, it is confession that gives us the greatest sense of joy. Strange to say. But it is. Now, another thing that you need to know, that we all need to know about confession, is what the Church calls the seal of confession. In other words, you've told the priest your sins, and the priest, under no circumstances whatever, may tell anybody else. Whatever happens.
Yeah, but what happens if it's...
Even if, you know, it was a desperate situation, the priest knows it, he can't tell. Even if he's going to have to die for it, the priest should be prepared to die rather than to tell anybody else. Even if your sin was a very little thing, like I've told a lie, it's absolutely forbidden from the priest. I remember, when I was a young priest, I was working in London, and I think it was Han Ratty. Do you remember Han Ratty? Mm-hmm. He was a murderer. Yeah. And he went to the scaffold, and people didn't know whether he was guilty or not. The only person who did know was my friend, who I was working with, because he'd been to confession to him before the execution. But he couldn't say. He couldn't say yes, he couldn't say no, he couldn't say anything. But he knew whether this fellow was guilty or whether he wasn't guilty, but he just couldn't say it. And that's how strong that law is. And, you know, if a priest breaks that law, he would be, you know, his ministry would be taken away from him. So serious that. So, I think that's about, it's covered about everything, I think. Okay, so we'll call that okay.